I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's giveaway time. Love Fandor? Here's your chance to get some free swag. Need a new fanny pack? Well, we've got you. Maybe a new gym tee. It's the time. All you have to do is tag us on Instagram or duet us on TikTok. That's at Fandor Films. If you can prove to us your love for film, there's a good chance we'll reach out to gift you some sweet new drops. That's at Fandor Films on Instagram and TikTok.
Hey everyone, welcome to another Fandor video podcast. My name is Hooman, and I'm here with my amazing co-host Chris Kelly.
How you doing, folks? Glad to be here, as always, with this excellent crew.
And today we have a really, really special guest. I know I say that every time. We've got the director of Traveling Light, Bernard Rose, and
Hello.
The star of the film, Danny Houston.
Bye.
Oh my gosh. Listen, Danny, we're going to start with Bernard, but Danny, I just want you to know the biggest star we've interviewed up to date has been Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. And now we've trumped Elvira with you.
Oh, I wouldn't want to trump Elvira. That would be a terrible thing to do. I'm honored. I'm honored to be on the same show as her.
Awesome. Well, Bernard, congratulations on your film Traveling Light. You're the director. Could you please tell us what your film's about?
Well, I mean, the film has a very unusual genesis in as much as that. Obviously, the sort of event that affected everybody worldwide in March 2020 was in full flow, and we didn't really know how to react to it. But at the time, nobody was really working, so we wanted to do something in response to it. But obviously, the situation was unfolding in front of us, so nobody really knew what was going to happen or why. So I had some sort of vague kind of structural ideas about parties and things and strange things going on up on Mulholland Drive, but really it was impossible to know what was happening at that period, at that moment, at the beginning of the pandemic, because nobody knew. No one had a clue. Everyone was kind of floundering around in the dark. So we kind of left the door open and very much responded to what was happening. And I think that turned out to be a good thing, because I started out wanting to make a film about the coronavirus pandemic in Los Angeles in the early days, but it ended up being as much as anything a film about the George Floyd murder. But I don't want that to make it sound like it's too solemn, because it's really a kind of satirical comedy, because it's about some haute bourgeois people on Mulholland Drive and homeless people in tent encampments. And Tony Todd plays an Uber driver who kind of goes between the high and the low and ferries the food up the hill to the people who are isolating, basically out there doing drugs, you know.
Right, right. All right. Well, you have a super impressive cast, Bernard. And yeah. You got Tony and you got Danny Houston. Danny, why did you say yes to this? How did this come across your desk? Like, tell us the story there.
Well, I'll always say yes to Bernard, no matter what he's making. We've made quite a few films now, I'm proud to say. So that's just the way it goes. As far as my trying to grasp what it was that he was making, or going to make, for that matter. We talked a little bit about Edgar Allan Poe, Mask of the Red Death. We talked a little bit about Exterminating Angel. We knew that the setting was going to be, somewhere near our surroundings, our specific surroundings, because we were all isolating in the sort of COVID madness of that moment in time. But I didn't really know where the story was going to go specifically. So what I did is I had a beach bag, and the beach bag could produce anything at any point. And that was sort of my bag of tricks for any unexpected event.
I think we should mention here that Danny, of course, is playing a guru. He's playing a kind of
a cult leader, right?
Cult leader, yes. Well, what is the basis of your cult, Danny? The basis of your cult in the film?
Well, the basis of my cult really is it's never really fully expressed. That may require another film, but I took a few pages from, there was a restaurant here called The Source that you may know of, and I didn't necessarily want him to be too demonic, but it could potentially turn into something demonic at any point. So I just wanted to keep that in reserve in case Bernard wanted to go darker.
Danny,
you could do a sequel or a prequel about your cult.
I would love to explore the character that I played in Bernard's film further. That's for sure. Yes,
Danny. You're getting to a point where you're constantly typecast as the bad guy. I'm thinking, obviously, Fallen Angel, Wolverine, now this demonic cult. Like, are you okay with that? Always being that bad guy?
Well, I mean, as you perform, you don't necessarily, play it that way. That's usually makes it more chilling if you don't. But I love bad guys. I mean, I'm completely, they're the characters that you can chew on, that you can enjoy. They're rich. Usually the good guys for me are just a tad bland.
Yeah, yeah. Bernard, how many days did it take to shoot this film from beginning to end?
It wasn't fast. I think we were shooting for an entire month. But because of the way that I like to shoot, we didn't do very long hours. I like to shoot everything in short bursts. But the time of day was very critical in this film because it covers a 24-hour period, and you really see the position of the sun. So the position of the sun was as much my screenplay as anything, and so it had to be done over multiple days, so I could be in the different places at the right time of day,
What's the most amount of takes you've made Danny do for a shot?
In this film, we never did more than one for anything.
Unbelievable. Danny's that good, huh? He gets it all in one take?
Well, I have a whole theory about this whole multiple takes business. You know where it comes from? It comes from two things. It comes from, first of all, from the fact that, of course, in the old days, we used to use 35mm film, so we didn't really know what we had. We certainly couldn't look at it back on the set. And the second thing comes from, also in the old days, I'm talking like silent days, Chaplin days, they couldn't make what's called dupe negatives. So all the prints had to be made from the camera negative, which was fine until you got to Charlie Chaplin, who made so many prints, went so many places all over the world, that the negatives used to wear out. So what Chaplin had to do is he couldn't just have one shot that was good. He had to have maybe 10 negatives of every shot so they could make up a minimum of 10, ultimately very similar, but minutely different versions of the same film, so they could make the sufficient number of prints that he needed to be send them all over the world. This is dead tech now.
Yeah. That's so fascinating. That was just like a walk down like a film class. Yeah, well,
film history is one of the things that we do like to talk about here.
Yeah.
The rest of the podcast. And so it fits right in. With there being so many movies about sort of a day or a couple of days in Los Angeles, were there any from the past that you felt particularly inspired by?
Well, name some. Actually, I can't think of one offhand.
It could be everything from L.A. Story to, you know, well, more a comedy, obviously. But, what, 2 Days in the Valley, Magnolia. There's all sorts of different possibilities for.
Shortcuts. Was that over a 24-hour period? I think it was, wasn't it?
I think so.
That was a great movie. I think that definitely influenced me, even if only subconsciously. That was a great movie. I think it was, because I remember them all ending up at dawn in the tub with Matthew Modine.
Oh, Into the Night was one that I particularly liked.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the thing about LA. You know, we only have two seasons, night and day. So, you know.
you have Oscar season.
We have award season, night, day, and I guess pilot season.
But, Danny, have you ever gone to Bernard and said, I need to do 2 takes. I need to do 3 takes.
Well, you know, usually it isn't a question of takes. I don't think we're thinking in that way. We're trying to. I mean, I've worked with him a certain amount now, and I guess different projects require different techniques, different styles. With this film in particular, he was documenting a period of time. So you know, maybe we'd sit around a table and we'd talk, and Burden would be shooting it from different angles, and hence it gave him the ability to cut some of the dialogue out if necessary, or to play the scene in a particular way. Even though he probably wouldn't admit to covering a scene, he's shooting it in a way that's loose enough so that you can cut it and be specific about what it is that we want to see. Our first cut was a beautiful, long, gorgeous cut, which it's in a way there were certain sacrifices that had to be made to reduce it to a normal length. The longer cut I found it, you know, a real luxury to see it, because I could see that the genesis and the birth of the whole idea. And then of course it needs to be sculpted and chiseled a little bit needs to be tucked in there, and the narrative becomes more clear.
Yeah, wow. You said that the trick is that I shoot it in a very informal style, but the idea is to make it look kind of, when it's all cut together, like David Lean shot it. And it's a trick. And you'd ask me, how is this trick pulled off? And I have to tell you, I can't tell you how it's pulled off. It's my trick.
Nice.
That's the question. That was the question he warned us about at the beginning, Chris.
Exactly.
tell us your favorite. We'll start with you, Bernard. Tell us your favorite scene in the film.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Gosh, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, there's many, many things that I'm very amused by in the movie. I mean, you know, I love that scene at the end where Danny and Tony are in the car. I don't want to talk about it because we'll give away too much. But also, there's some of the stuff where they're going crazy up in the house, the stuff where Stephen Dorff is caught out in a cupboard in an uncompromising position. And there's some great stuff with Tony, all the stuff with Tony Todd, where he's searching for his son in the homeless encampments. I mean, it was very close to being real because Tony was, I'm not saying this out of school because he's said it publicly, Tony really was searching for his son in homeless encampments.
Wow.
So it had a real sting to it. And it was a fascinating like journey going down there, talking to people and putting them in some of the people, not all of them, but some of them were people who were actually unhoused, you know. And obviously that's the one of the biggest issues, you know, that and the whole sort of, you know, George Floyd racial divide thing in the city. I mean, these are the things. You know, I wasn't trying to approach these issues as a polemic, but those are the issues of present day LA, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And Danny, what's your favorite scene in the film?
I quite liked, you know, the scenes in the house, specifically for my character. And these moments of sort of pseudo spirituality, I guess, you know, there's a way that Bernard shot it, and these sort of out of focus moments with the palm trees, the sort of California dreaming aspect of it. I think that there was a sort of a silence and a moment of contemplation that existed there for a minute that we could be critical of as observers, as far as the sort of sellable spirituality of it all. But there was truth. There was a sort of moment of repose, a moment of serenity. And I think Bernard caught that. And in that way, the film is a document of that specific moment in time. And, you know, like in Mask of the Red Death or in other tales such as these, Rome was burning beneath us. And it was actually happening. It wasn't
right, something literally called fire. Created.
Yeah.
Bernard, what's next for you?
Well, good question. I'm hoping to become gainfully employed somewhere.
Danny, hire him for something.
No, he hires me.
I have various projects, but you know how it is. The moment I mention them to you, they'll all evaporate.
Oh. I thought the moment you mentioned it to us, like, you know.
Hey, we're the green light show.
Yeah, we are the green light show. All right, so you're not going to tell us? Do you know what it is, Danny? You know what he's working on?
He'd have to kill us.
He's up to some devilish plan, I assure you. Devilish is the clue.
I have another film I definitely – so I'm very – I like to make – strange little films in Los Angeles that sort of use the city as a kind of character. And there's definitely another one I want to do. But, you know, I just, there's something I love about LA, not in the traditional sense of looking at LA, you know, with people normally when they want to represent it, it's always Hollywood and glamorous and this and that. I love that sort of slight, the sort of slight pull of desperation that you sometimes feel here of all those people who came here and didn't make it, you know?
Yes.
Like me.
That's the clue.
Seems like you've done okay, but...
That's the clue, Chris. He just gave us the clue. His next film is going to be about the people who didn't make it.
Well, maybe they did, because even when they do, it always runs into trouble.
Right. Well, Pulp Fiction or...
Pulp Fiction is a great example of a great LA film, and so is Jackie Brown, actually.
Uh-huh. Yep.
What about Heat? I was thinking Heat.
Oh, Heat, of course. Yes, yeah. These are the great... And Sunset Boulevard, of course.
Danny, what's next for you?
You can go all the way back.
I love all the noir here, the Big Sleep and all those films mm-hmm. as well.
Absolutely.
Danny, what's next for you?
I'm not exactly sure what's next. I just finished a film in Italy where I play a junkie priest in and it's mainly in Italian. So that was quite a challenge for me, but also something I could enjoy because I was born in Rome, and so I speak a little Italian. So I was able to show off a little bit. So I've just finished.
Very nice.
Oh, nice. All right, listen, we're going to, by the way, the film, once again, is Traveling Light. Check it out on Fandor. I want you guys both to leave us with one movie. And it doesn't matter what the movie is, just as long as the movie matters to you. It doesn't have to be your favorite film of all time. But I just, if you could just leave the people watching this with a movie, whether they've seen it or haven't seen it, whether it's famous or infamous, what would it be? Who wants to go first?
Treasure of the Sierra Madre is the one I choose. My grandfather Walter Houston and my father John Houston directed it. Walter acted in it. It's probably my favorite film of all time.
Wow, that's a huge statement. Beautiful, Bernard.
Well, I think you know if we're talking LA films. I'd have to plump for Mulholland Drive, which I just is, you know, it's such an enduring classic. Even though, I mean, it was made as recently as early 2000s, but it feels it was like nostalgic for itself, even during its own running time.
Well, if we're talking LA films, I guess Chinatown.
Yeah. Chinatown, of course.
All right, Danny gave us two, so Bernard, you got to give us one more.
Well, I mean. I mean, I would say Sunset Boulevard, but I've already seen it. I think I actually completely adore The Big Sleep because it just has this really wonderful, you know, you can still see that LA if you half close your eyes, where there's bookshops and houses and people living in green. Just there's that wonderful kind of corruption and it goes right down to the root of it. I mean, Chinatown feels like a remake of The Big Sleep to me in some ways. It's a very beautiful, wonderful remake of it. But, you know, it has a lot of plot similarities, actually.
And maybe we should share Sunset Boulevard, because that's got to be one.
Yeah.
Well, it's just a masterpiece, Sunset Boulevard. And the thing about Sunset Boulevard is you can't remake that film because unlike the casting is completely real. Gloria Swanson was a movie star from the silent era. She was directed by Eric von Stroheim and Cecil B. DeMille, who are both in the movie. Cecil B. DeMille was the first guy to make a movie in Hollywood and the only one who survived as a big director till into the 50s, really. You know, but it's and Buster Keaton is in the movie. I mean, the movie is so authentic in terms of the real people really there. And it you know, and that's why anytime they try and redo it, even the musical, it's like, yeah, okay, it's nice. But the film is something very, very, very special, you know?
Maybe I can be your Gloria Swanson to your Eric von Stroheim.
There we go.
Yes.
I have an idea for you guys hearing you talk right now about your love for film. You two, Bernard and Danny, should do a 15-minute podcast on one movie and why you love it.
Yeah.
And just do it once a month. People will tune in.
Yes, absolutely.
What do you think of that idea?
It's our next interview. We'll come back.
we'll produce it.
Yeah.
Would you guys do that with us? You guys pick one or two movies, and we'll just sit there and listen to you guys talk about it, and then we'll be like, "Well, that's the show."
That's not a difficult ask.
Yeah, I know. Any time. I mean, I can talk endlessly about different movies. You know. Film history is very short. I mean, Danny's what you're. Third generation or fourth generation in the movie business?
I'm third, I believe.
Right, but like Walter's father was, he was a theater man, wasn't he? What was Walter's
father? No, Walter's father was not a, no, he was a carpenter. What was that?
Was Walter the first guy?
Yes, Walter was the first, yeah.
But you couldn't be older than Walter Houston in the movie business. That's how young the movie business is.
Yeah.
Well, okay, listen, I only have Steven's email, and I don't even know who Steven is. I guess he's your agent, your manager.
Steven Nozakov, you mean?
Yeah, the guy who set this thing up.
He's my manager. He's my manager.
All right. I guess I'll have to set this up through him, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to do it. Chris, do you think we're going to hear from these guys again?
I think we will. I think we will. I think we've had a good time. That's the most important thing, right?
We have, exactly. Exactly, Chris.
Danny, Bernard, we wish you nothing but the best. Congratulations on your film, Traveling Light. We're so excited to have it on FanDuel, and we know it's going to be a huge success for us as well.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.